Professor Friesen, very good of you to join me today.
Well, thanks very much for having me on.
Professor Friesen, I've said in the title to this article that this was an exciting archaeological find. How exciting is it, and how rare is this?
Well, I'm biased, but for me, it's both extremely exciting and it's definitely extremely rare. It's really about a kind of house that is well known from Inuvialuit elders and from the historical record, but for which not a single example has ever been fully excavated or actually seen.
Now, I'm told this particular site was, in fact, very large. There were many of these type of driftwood houses.
Absolutely. It's possible that at its height, it may have been the largest Inuit or Inuvialuit settlement in the entire Canadian Arctic. It's in the outer Mackenzie Delta in a region that has a huge number of beluga whales every summer. So there was a very large and very successful hunt every summer. And then people would store the beluga meat and come back and live over the winter. So what we're excavating are the winter houses. And although the site is eroding really badly, I would say a conservative estimate would be that at some point there'd be at least 40 of these houses at the site. And there's at least 15 or 20 that are still visible.
Now, these were fairly large structures. They're called cruciform houses. When we think of cruciform in architecture, we think of four wings to a house in a cross shape. But what would these have actually looked like, and why are they called cruciform?
Well, it's a good question, and it's more or less for exactly the same reasons, in that if you were looking from above, they would actually look more or less like a cross. And the reason is there'd be a square main floor area and then three alcoves extending out from that floor area, one at the rear and one at each side. And then at the fourth side, in the front, there'd be the entrance tunnel, usually facing downslope. So when you add the entrance tunnel and the three alcoves, it makes a cross-like form or cruciform.
What were they built out of? I've said driftwood, but what kind of shape would they have?
Well, the Mackenzie Delta is blessed with absolutely vast amounts of driftwood. A lot of the driftwood that circulates in the entire Arctic Ocean comes down the Mackenzie River. So basically, Inuvialuit architects had access to an unlimited supply of high-quality driftwood. So the way they'd be constructed is that central room would have four upright posts at its corners, and those posts would actually be made of big sections of tree trunk with the roots facing up, sticking up out of the ground, and that's so they could lash the roof onto those roots. And then the rest of the house was made of just parallel driftwood logs for the floor and for the benches. So really, the entire surface of the floor and benches was made of driftwood, and then the walls would be made of further driftwood leaning in towards the roof. So it really was an entirely driftwood construction, and then that would be covered with skins and sod for insulation.
Were these dug into the ground at all, or just simply on top of the ground, or what?
They were. They were excavated pretty deep into the ground. In fact, the one we excavated at the back was close to 2 meters deep. At the front, it was probably maybe half a meter deep. So they would excavate deeply both for insulation and, you know, to cut the wind. So these were extremely stable houses all winter.
And fairly large as well, I understand.
Yeah, so this house, for example, was about 6 or a little more than 6 meters wide and maybe 5 meters from front to back, and that's not including the tunnel. And so that's 2 or 3 times as big as an average or normal early Inuit house. So they were definitely getting much larger groups of people together into individual dwellings. Probably, you know, there'd be at least one and then sometimes two families in each of these alcoves.
What does this find tell us about their habits? I mean, these houses are from, say, 1 to several hundred years old, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're only now starting the analysis of the bones and the artifacts and all the spatial patterns from the house. But they certainly do indicate sort of the success and the wealth of this early Inuvialuit society. These were very well-made, large, comfortable houses, full of beautifully made artifacts, and also full of animal bone used for obviously for food, and there was not only beluga whales being eaten, but also many terrestrial mammals like caribou and moose, and huge amounts of fish, and of course the Mackenzie Delta has dozens of species of fish, many of which were jigged or netted by Inuvialuit. So it really, I think, speaks to a large, very successful population in the past.
And why have these, if there were so many of these and they're fairly large, why have they not been discovered previously?
Well, they're known in the sense that at least some of them you can tell from the surface. They must be cruciform houses, even if you can't tell the details about them. I think there's a few reasons. Some of the earlier archaeological work in the region, as is true of many regions, wasn't trying to get at sort of aspects of architecture as much as it was trying to get sort of big picture ideas of what kind of artifacts people made and how old the sites were. So these houses either would be avoided or else just a small test pit might be made in the middle of the house. And later, I think more recently, there have been some excavations of these houses which were very high-quality work, but they never were finished. They never actually exposed the entire house to the back walls, and I think that that's mainly just a matter of time. It took us with 10 people for almost 6 weeks. It took us digging long days, full out, to expose this single house this year.
Professor Max Friesen of the University of Toronto, why would these houses, why would this community have been abandoned, left, if it was so well constructed and so on?
Well, there are two reasons. There may be many reasons, but two that I could conjecture. One is that the history of the Mackenzie Delta is that gradually the Mackenzie River is silting in, and so the areas that the beluga whales actually congregate in and can be hunted gradually moves downstream. So it is possible that the area right around this site was becoming less of an ideal beluga hunting place, and so they moved away and across the river. But unfortunately, a large part of the reason probably has to do with the really devastating epidemic diseases that moved through the region in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, and very large numbers of people passed away, and so the population was drastically reduced and tended to all consolidate at one or two central sites, and one of which is just across the river from this one, a sort of famous site called Kitigasiwit. So I think it's a combination of those factors.
Was there anything that was particularly surprising or particularly interesting or particularly new that you discovered with this site?
Well, the idea of cruciform houses was well known, and as I mentioned, you can actually sometimes tell even from the surface that a house depression is probably a cruciform house, but we've never had one fully excavated, so we can actually now begin to put together how do the benches intersect, are they made with, full logs or adzed planks, that kind of thing. But the biggest surprise, and in some ways the most exciting thing that we came across, was we just did an initial test excavation of a second house up the beach from the cruciform house. And that one actually came up with a few glass trade beads. So these look like probably mid-19th century trade beads. And this is really exciting because for the sequence as a whole, the archaeological and cultural sequence as a whole for the Mackenzie Delta, we have the early end, which is around 1200 or 1300 AD, and then we have several houses between then and the late pre-contact era, but we don't have any from that 19th century era when Inuvialuit are first meeting and interacting with Europeans. And this is a critically interesting area for a lot of reasons, but one is that it's how you can link the Inuvialuit traditional knowledge and histories with the archaeology, because it's kind of that intervening time that where they overlap. So this was a complete surprise. I was sort of hoping to find a historic period house, but not expecting to. And so that's another area that we want to go back to in 2016.
Professor Friesen, I'm also told that climate change is now of great concern to you in terms of being able to excavate this site.
It's an enormous concern, and in fact, it was really the primary rationale for doing this project. The project was conceived and organized in collaboration with an Inuvialuit cultural organization because of the clear evidence for destruction of many of the most important sites in the Outer Mackenzie Delta. And the erosion of sites has been going on for a long time, but it seems to be increasing now in relation to global warming. And so what's happening is the permafrost, the permanently frozen soil that encases many of these sites, is melting. At the same time, sea levels are gradually rising, and there's longer open water periods in the summer, that is, ice-free periods, so that storms often increase in number and severity. So between all of these factors, the coasts are just at enormous risk and are moving back quickly, and there are areas of the coast that are literally moving back at 5 meters or more per year. And we're monitoring several archaeological sites that we can measure are moving back about 1 to 2 meters per year. So if you think that some of these houses are only a few meters wide in size, you can literally lose a house in a couple of years.
What's the next step for you then in terms of finding out more about these sites and excavating them?
Well, the project is a long-term one, and the current plan is to sort of alternate these large excavation years, such as the one we just finished, with smaller-scale helicopter survey years. So this coming summer of 2015, I hope to be surveying a number of areas to both to monitor the destruction of sites that we're aware of and also to look for new sites. And we're also going to be looking in new areas that have been suggested by the Tuktoyaktuk Hunters and Trappers Committee as an important one to look at. And then in 2016, we'll be back to large-scale excavation if all goes to plan. And I actually want to go back to the same site we were at because although we fully exposed the house, what we didn't do was go underneath the benches and the floor, and that's where often a lot of the most important information is. And we also didn't finish excavating the tunnel. So I want to finish that house, and also the rest of the site has so much at-risk architecture that we should be digging more of other areas of the site as well.
Well, Professor Friesen, thank you very much for your time today, and good luck with the future excavations.
Well, thanks very much. It was a pleasure to be on.